welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yannins, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our broadcast again. We are excited that we have you listening, and we have been looking in the last couple of days to see how we can just be more available to those that are out there on the internet and different devices and for the radio station. Now, for the TV station, it's pretty much covered. But for the radio station, you know, I built this thing back in 2009. And out of instruction from God to build it, and we put it together, and we had an idea of just getting the stream on there. And I think that as we built it, as we put it together, as we made it, it ran, and it runs continually very good. In fact, we have computers running all the signals and stuff. But with my busy travel schedule and my busy publishing and everything else, as well, everything's changing in technology since last 4 years ago, since how we built this. We have churches that are on Rev Media Network that continue to broadcast with us, their events and stuff. And we are excited to announce that we are about to upgrade all of our players on the radio channel side of it. All four channels are going to be upgraded pretty soon. You're going to be able to have a better, it's not going to change any way how you listen to this, besides that you're going to be able to pull this up on iPads and iPhones and stuff like that, and that you're going to be able to, we're going to be able to draw more listeners through different places that we can list the show at. So there's an upside to it. The downside to it is it's going to cost us more. But that's just what technology is. It continues to cost, continues to add, if you're going to put the gospel out, if you're going to do anything in business or ministry or anything in life, it's going to cost you something. So we're going to be absorbing that cost again, and starting with one channel, which is the talk radio channel, get that fine-tuned, and then it's going to be a big task. It's going to take us a few months because we're basically going to be going fully digital on the service side as well. Everything's going to be coming from a cloud, and it's going to be able to play the entire broadcast on all the channels. And that's pretty much the information I want to share with you on that. I want you to pray about it. Our expense is going to go up a few $100 a month for this change, but I do believe that God has called us to do this, and we're going to be able to get better statistics, be able to see where we're reaching and where people are hearing us from, and that's going to help the traveling ministry, the healing ministry, because we're going to know where to concentrate, where God is reaching the people that we're ministering to. Of course, right now we know we go all over the world, praise God. And we're going to be able to continue doing that with this new software that we're adding to the station. So keep that in prayer. And I believe God's going to do some amazing, amazing, amazing things. You know, faith is an important, important element in our life. Without faith, we cannot please God. But the faith that God gives you needs to continually be pressed. Amen? There has to be something in you that says, okay, God, I don't know if I can do this and how I can make this happen, but I'm going to try. You know, I read the book, God's Generals, almost finished. Got like two or three pages left, and then I go to the conclusion. And Billy Graham's story was, I thought, going to be longer in it, but it wasn't. But it was very good. It was still very good. I still enjoyed it. I still was excited about hearing how he even started, thinking how God could use him. So I want to encourage you, because those books that you read, whatever books you get, I mean, we have so many books from great authors that we have brought on the air. Marilyn Hickey, Joan Hunter, Pastor Maldonado, Henry Fernandez, several people that we have had on the air that we are excited. We're excited to have them. We're excited to have them on the air. And the reason a lot of people say, well, David, you know, we want to hear more about ministries, more about people that do the work of God and not just books. And you know, when I was younger, growing up in faith, I literally used to say that I don't read anything else but the Bible. I don't read anything else but the Bible. And it was good. But then you have to read the testimonies and the knowledge. You're not going to get everything yourself. Praise God. You know, there's other men of God out there, other women of God that get some good stuff from God. Everybody's preaching is influenced by someone or something. I have a good friend coming by the station after we're done with the broadcast. Brother Clarence is what we call him, Clarence Dalrymple. He'll be visiting the station just to go over some stuff that we normally go over on video and radio form, and just checking where we're going to go for this year with his ministry. But he mentioned something that really, really, really touched me. And it's probably kind of, it's not even what we're talking about, but he mentioned that he needs to go and come by and record some videos because he needs to stick to the plan and get the video. It's good material. But when he tries to do this at churches, that the Spirit pulls out of him what the congregation needs. The Spirit pulls out of him what the congregation needs. So he can go in there with the mindset and go from point A to point B and point C in his video series that he's trying to create. But because he's doing it in front of a live audience, the Spirit is pulling what those people need from him. And he goes like what he calls on a rabbit trail. He's an older fella. Okay, so that's fine. And the Spirit does do that. It does do that. So you're influenced by what you read. You're influenced by people that you hear preach. You're influenced by different things around you. So I encourage you to read books and encourage you to get into a book that would encourage you. Get books that excite you if you're not a book reader. Books that will challenge your faith. Books that will make you want to do more for God. And I tell you, after reading the book The Revivalist by Robert Zlierden, it's given me some insight on the things of God in people's lives. It has. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my spirit that God has called me for two things. Well, three things if you want to add it in there. And in everything that I do, I'm an encourager. That's one thing I just said that you could add it in there. But I'm an evangelist. And I am a revivalist in my heart. Wherever I go, I challenge people in salvation, challenge them to believe God in healing, and encourage their lives. So from the books all the way to the broadcasting, all the way to the missions, all the way to the children's homes that we have, it is God that has encouragement in those things. Our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. If God has blessed you and touched you through this broadcast and you have been just miraculously healed, something happened in your life, I want you to just go ahead and give us an email, send us a letter, let us know what's going on, let us know that the testimony that you have, and we're going to see some good things come out of it and see some good things happen. Now, I know that the station is doing a good thing in broadcasting these services and these ministry things out there. So it's time to invest into it by faith. It takes courage. And I talked last time we had the show, I talked about courage. It takes courage to do the thing God wants you to do. It takes faith to believe that he will do his part. Now, are you hearing me, my friends? Are you hearing me out there? It takes courage to do the things God tells you to do. Or the things you believe you're supposed to do. Do. It does. It takes courage to do it. And it takes faith to deliver and believe that God will do it. I know that many, 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 many ministries have grown and I tell you, in my spirit, I see all of these beautiful people, these faith people doing great things. And you sit back and you wonder, well, how can I do it? How can I do it? You know, the other night on the news, it was showing that Mark Burnett, the guy that created Survivor and Shark Tank and all these other successful shows, has been making a documentary, a movie, four-part series that will be shown on the History Channel called The Bible. And then they mentioned this, something that just stuck with me for a little bit, and I had to think about it. And it said 100 ministers signed on as advisors, including big ones here in Houston, Dallas, big names. You'll know every one of them if I mention them. I'm sure you can Google it. And I don't know. It was good. It's good. And I looked at that and I said, how many and these are ministers of good name and very big, and the news, of course, they're news, they're broadcasters, they're for ratings, and they're like mentioning all the big names of ministry that signed on. And for a minute, I have to be honest with you, for a minute, I sat there and I thought about it. It's good that they're making a movie. It's good that these big ministers come in and sign it. And I'm like, well, Lord, you know, we're going to make movies and stuff as well for you, Lord. And I'm thinking, I have no big name. Praise God. I have no reach that media would be here if I did something. And I just thought about it for a second. And I said, Lord, I thank you that you don't have to find a big name to do a big thing. It's good that they got the recognition and they're out there and they're huge ministries and it's nice. It is. But I'm going to keep trucking along and doing what I do for you, God, regardless if those that see it as big, regardless of those that see it as powerful and amazing, where the news would come and find you. And I think every minister has to know this, that there doesn't have to be a big name or you don't have to be recognized because you're doing the work of God. It doesn't matter. Nobody sees us in the villages in India. Nobody sees us in the cities in Kenya. Nobody sees us on this airway as a big name. And I'm like, it would be nice to, you know, you're just as qualified as anyone else. Praise God. I mean, I believe this. You're just as qualified as anyone else to be one of those 100 pastors. You are, in faith. But it's not what we're here for. It's not what we're self-alkalides and stuff like that. It's not what we're here for. It is for the faith of God. And it takes courage to do what you're doing. I really believe in my heart that this next wave of revival, this next wave of ministry, is going to be done by the men and women of God that just want to see God move. We've seen different movements in faith. We've seen different movements that God has done great things, and God has used great men of God, and other men of God have just grown in it as well, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing that we see it. But I want to tell you this, that I really believe that God has a reason that you're where you're at today. I've grown up in faith and seeing the ministries from Jimmy Swaggart to Billy Graham to Oral Roberts to Shamback, R.W. Shamback, David Wilkerson, even Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, T.D. Jakes. I've been in all their conferences, all their services that I have been in. Not every service that they had, but I've been in services of all of them. That would be the best way to say it. I've been in services and not just one, not just two, but as often as I could, and they were in town, or if I was in a city where they were at, I would purposely go and hear them. And to be honest, I've met several of them and shook their hands and talked to them for a few minutes. And it's amazing to see God's anointing on them. It is. But I will tell you this, that God will take any man that is, and or woman, that has their heart open to him and do great things with him. Now, I know for a fact that God has great things for our ministry. And I know for a fact that God has great things for you. Why? Because he has begun a good work in you. He's faithful to finish it to the very end. He is faithful to make something happen for your good in your life. Thousands cry out to him every day, God, use me. God, use me. But I want to ask you this question, if I could. How many of those that are screaming, God, use me, we'll just do the simple, small thing first. We'll do the simple, small things in your life first. How many of you would actually just do whatever you could, and that's what's ever in front of you, really? That's what God is looking for, is for someone to do what is so easily in front of them. He is not looking for anyone to do anything that you can't do. Praise God. I really believe before you can go before millions to preach, well, you got to preach to 10, 20. It's different places and different things that you do. You just got to trust God to do it in your life. Believe him that it will happen. I know for a fact that God is able to lift you up even when you've been broken. You see, sometimes when you're broken, it makes a better mold for God to make. You know, you appreciate things more. Am I right or am I wrong? When you have been broken, you appreciate God's grace more. You appreciate God's grace extremely more. That to the point where you're just excited and thankful that he has done great things in you. That he has done amazing things for you. You accept his grace. You accept his love. There's no doubt that you want God in your life. You trust him. You're excited about him. And you just want to see great things happen. Because you understand God's grace. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. I hope I'm not preaching too much to you. Hopefully you're understanding some of this stuff. Hey, we're going to be at the NRB. In about a couple of weeks, I believe it's the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th, I'll be out of town. And that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So we'll have some good shows for you here. Normally, when I go to the NRB, I do a live show from there. And it's really nice. But they don't cater to us anymore. So I'm just going to do recorded shows and do some video stuff and see what we can get done out there. I'm excited about the things that we're going to be doing there because we're going to see some powerful, powerful things come out of this. Last year, we met a couple of good contacts from the NRB, and they're still continually growing, so we're excited about that. We're excited that those contacts and people that we meet are going to be new and new contacts, but also go back and visit some of the contacts that started different things for us in different parts of the ministry. So we're excited about that. We have a full list of interviewers and interviewees. No big names, I don't think, on there except for some of the people from McCain media place that they sent us stuff. And we have John Slitt, Sherry Kagi. There's a couple of big names, I suppose. And, of course, they are. And then we have a few more people. We have Julie Elias as well. We've interviewed those interviews this past year, and we're going to interview them again. In fact, we had Julie in December, and I think it was December. In November, and then we had John Schlitt and Sherry Kagi this last month. So we're going to have them as well. I'm going to be interviewing Freddie Washington again. I enjoyed him. He was a great interview. And a few more from McCain, but then we're also going to be interviewing a couple of authors and talk to them and see how they're doing and just do whatever we do with them. We're going to have William Federer. We interviewed him last year, and I'm trying to remember. It's on my desk at the office, and at the home office, and I don't remember all the names. But we got a pretty good schedule. Oh, our first interview is gonna be with June Hunt. She's become very popular off of our channel, off of our counseling and prayer channel, and that's about it. I think that the names that I remember, there's several there. And we're gonna see them there. We're gonna have a good time with them. Dr. Jim Markham. I'm just remembering names. So there's so many. 25, 26 interviews. Maybe we're gonna finish out with 27. Almost about the same I did last time. This time is not gonna be live. It's gonna be just short five minutes between and 10 minutes shows. And I'm gonna save those shows for these kind of times when I'm on the air and I'm talking to you, and I just want to get this encouragement to you. So those are going to be pretty good. Just remember, my friends, it always takes courage to do what God's calling you to do. It always takes courage to do it. Preaching schedule starts kicking off in March. Probably going to be down in South Texas preaching again and be back. And then I'm going to be out in South Carolina preaching. Got an invitation out there this past week. and we're going to just see where God is going. You know, I don't go to preach for offerings. Praise God. I go to see the power of God move. I go and I pray this. This is a prayer I prayed, and I'm going to share it with you. I prayed to God that He would show me, that He would show me the place to start with a pastor who has the same heart that I have for evangelism, and that He has, that God has. Someone that wanted to see the Spirit just move and change that neighborhood and that nation. And I said, Lord, I can go almost anywhere in the United States, and I can knock on doors, I can look for people online, and I could try and make that connection. But God, can you make that connection? And let that be the beginning. Let that be the beginning of what we're going to start to do. And believe it or not, God is faithful. He is faithful. I have an interview coming up in the ICRS from an individual. I'll introduce it before it starts again. But it's about someone that had to take courage just to come back and do the work that God's called him to. So let me get you a quick commercial, and we will be right back in just a few minutes. Here's One Impact, and we'll be right back.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Is God trying to get your attention? Is He trying to tell you or teach you something? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. You know, I'll never forget years ago, a long, long time ago, when my 3 sons were little boys and I was raising them as a single mom. Not the situation I ever expected to be in, but as we all know, life has its ups and downs, turns and twists. But even in the midst of my life-changing time, God continued to bless and provide for us. But I had this attitude that I could do all things. But God quickly showed me my prideful heart. You see, I was expecting a payment for a book project I was working on, and the check was late. Day after day, the check just wouldn't come. And then I started to worry about how I was going to make ends meet. You know, with 3 little boys, we were always running out of milk and food. After a few days that went by, I finally asked a sweet man down the road who owned a small country store, his name was Pete, if I could go ahead and pick up a few things for the boys. It was one of the most difficult things I ever had to do. Well, maybe not one of the most difficult things I had to do, but it was definitely a humbling experience. You know, Pete became my angel. And he opened his entire store to me, and it gave him so much joy to help me and my sons. You know, the very next day my check arrived. Jesus taught me through this situation that it wasn't all about the things that I could do on my own, but it was all about Him. He reminded me in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. He humbled my heart. I used to think that if I asked help from someone else, it showed my weakness, it showed my inability. But God gives us angels like Pete, our friends and our family, to help us through the difficult times. Listen to me, it's an insult to steal the joy from others who want to reach out and to make an impact in your life. Are you like me years ago? Are you struggling? Do you need help? And are you afraid to reach out to others? Let go and let God. Let go of that pride and let God provide for you. Don't steal the joy of others who are willing to help you. There will be another time in your life when the tables will turn, and then you'll be able to help someone else. You'll make that one impact in the life of another person, and it will bring you so much joy. The I can do all things myself attitude will change to I can do all things through Him that gives me strength. If you have any questions or comments, I'd love to talk with you. My website is www.terrysquires.com. And if you're wanting to make a life-changing impact in the lives of others, please check out my new One Impact Bible published by Zondervan. It's all about our one true God who knows you, loves you, and sees you. Please never forget that. It's also about the one person you are in Christ and your one relationship with Him. And lastly, it's about how to make your one impact in this world that will reach millions. So until next time, I'm Terry Squires. Don't forget to make your one impact.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection. Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev and author Pat Simmons, author of No Easy Catch with Whitaker House, on an interview already in progress.
Sweet. Maybe I can do this thing. and then it changed for a month. Okay, I've done this for 30 days. Okay, I've done it. And then I met a young lady who had been saved for years, and I was just amazed. Years, and I was just trying to make it a month. Well, months turn into years, and years have turned into decades. That's all I'm saying there. But I praise God because we have a saying at our church that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And as I walk with God and I see healings and I hear testimonies and I see deliverance, and as He has worked in my life, I can't help but be confident in Jesus. He is real.
He is real. He is real. And what changes in your life? I mean, were you writing books before this, or is this something that you came to afterwards?
No, I was saved before I was writing books. I got into writing because I worked in radio as yourself, and I would interview authors, and I thought to myself, I could do this. That was the cockiness in me. And so I found out that is not an easy thing. So God had to bring me down a couple of notches.
Well, did you set out writing fiction, or did you want to write about faith, or what was your purposes when you started to write?
Well, I am an avid reader. I love to read, and I love to read romance stories. I am a happily ever after person. And as I began to read, as I continued to read romances, the Lord spoke to me. Because you can skip pages and then, bam, something will jump out at you. And the Lord told me that He would bless me if I read only Christian romance.
And I don't
share that with a lot of people because a lot of people can't receive the personal messages that God tells us. But I said, Lord, You told the Israelites simple things not to do. And they did it. And so here's a simple thing that You want me to do, and I'm going to do it. And God is faithful. You know, He is faithful if we just be mindful of the few things, the minor things He tells us to do. And so I have done that, and God has opened up a door. I don't know how many people have experienced that. He will open up a window you don't have room to receive. I have experienced that a few times. And let me tell you, those blessings will wear you out.
I like how you say that.
They will wear you out.
Amen. And how many books have you written? I know your recent one's No Easy Catches with Whitaker, but you've written some before this. Tell us some of the titles. I know I interviewed you last year at the ICRS on the James, I believe it's the Jameson or James.
Yes, the Jameson Legacy. No Easy Catch. I am celebrating my 10th full-length novel, and I am so blessed that Whitaker House saw the potential in that book that they offered me a 3-book deal. So I'm thankful. I don't take it lightly that God chose me to be able to write stories and not forget him.
That's amazing. Now, how do you develop your characters? Do you have a plan on where they're going to end up, or they just end up where they're going to end up?
Well, I tell you, I have a news background. I worked in television for 10 years and radio for several years. And so I'm issue-driven. And so in all of my books, even though I have the romance tidbits in there, I try to deal with issues that people face every day. In the Jameson Legacy, I dealt with the angry man. You know, we need not to give up on our angry youth because there's a reason why they are angry, and we have to have compassion and patience. I dealt with a single mother because that's relevant in today's society. And then I dealt with people that have the worldly wisdom and don't think they need the godly wisdom. And in No Easy Catch, I dealt with a woman who called herself the other woman, really when she didn't know she was the other woman, was dealing with men that are really decoys in the church. Mm. He did not tell her that he was married, estranged from his wife, but he was yet trying to get back with his wife. So she considered herself the other woman. She felt like she was the scandal of the church. But we know that there are decoys in the church. And I wanted to address that where she felt, God, there are no more good men. They are all taken. But in No Easy Catch, you know, my tagline is, if you think a good man is hard to find, then a great woman is no easy catch. And through a series of events, this man becomes intrigued with her faith walk, and he tells her, if you show me how to be a good Christian, I'll show you a good man. So, I deal with issues in my book because I want to give people more than a light, inspirational read. I was talking to a lady yesterday, and I tell her I like to write books where I don't point fingers.
That's good.
To be able, think about it. I don't want to beat anybody up. I tell people I'm not a preacher. You want preaching, you better go to church. But what I want to do is have the emotions from my characters where you decide at the end of the book who you were rooting for, not me. And so when I finish a book, I say, Lord, did I put in there what you wanted me to? And sometimes his answer is not yes, and I'm like, oh. And I go back in because, after all, the books are not about me. And the Lord let me know that years ago when I was doing a book signing in St. Louis, my hometown, and I had just came from Indianapolis where I had a great book signing. And here I was in St. Louis. A book signing is an average of 2 hours. I was at that bookstore for 5 hours trying to sell my book. The local angle wasn't moving. The church folks, and, we can tell church folks on Sunday. The church folks weren't buying my book. Just everybody wasn't buying my book. And I was getting angry. And when I got home, the Lord chastened me. And he said, it's not about you. It's about me. And I said, yes, Lord. So I have learned. That if I sell 2 books, I'm not really happy with that, but I'm okay because it's not about me. And I learned that, it's about him. So I've learned to be thankful. And when he's opened those doors, right now I'm on tour. I'm en route to Fort Worth, Texas. I've been in, in Oklahoma City. I've been in San Antonio, and God just blessed me. And so I'm thankful. I have to remove myself because it's God that allowed me to do it.
Mm. Amen. So you have been going to several military bases. Tell us about how you got into that and the interest in that as far as the readers that are there.
Well, it has been a blessing because I started off at Scott Air Force Base in right over the river from St. Louis in Belleville, Illinois. And I came in as an author vendor, and I would recommend as many of your listeners that are authors to do it. And one of the reasons why I was looking for different avenues to introduce myself to the community, and some of the venues were expensive. They were $150, $200. There was the cost of transportation, and sometimes you would walk away with a major loss, you know, the hotel,
the fees.
And you would just maybe sell 20 books, and then, of course, the books aren't free. You have to buy the books. So another author mentioned that she had went to a base, and so I contacted my base there, and I went in, and the good thing is that if you don't sell anything, you owe them nothing.
Mm.
If you sell, you owe them a percentage, and the percentages vary depending on the base. And I have found the military personnel to be very receptive. I've taken quite a few pictures that I'll be posting on my website later today with majors and captains and staff sergeants and master sergeants. And I just left Randolph Base, and a lady came in and saw my banner, recognized my name, and I was so humbled. She had read everything I wrote, everything, and I was humbled because she liked my voice in my writing and stuck with me, and she brought No Easy Catch, and I told her, hey, if you like the Jameson men, now the women are in charge. I'm bringing in the Carmen sisters. And so she bought book one, and she says, you know, girl, I'm going to have this done in a couple of days. I'm like, well, you know, girl, you're going to have to wait until a year before book two is out. So, you know, that was so nice because even though this is my 10th book, there's so many people that have not read me, and I'm always looking for new readers. And the military base is one of them because people are from across the country, and they tell friends and family, and I am just so blessed. A man bought two copies to send to a daughter in New York and another daughter somewhere else, I couldn't remember. But the military has blessed me. They have blessed me, and I'm thankful. I am thankful.
Mm, and then that's wisdom. Where else were they want to have time to read books, and especially the wives and the family members and stuff, they want encouraging things while they're going through the whole service. I was in the military myself, and there's times that you have to put down and you can't do anything, but then there's plenty of hours you just sit there, darlings,
and do nothing. That's the key. Yeah, that's the key. I go in at about 9:30 and I leave at 6:30. It is a very long day, but I stand and I greet people. My husband always laughs at me because people will say, but I'm not a reader. And I said, well, give me a few minutes of your time and I'll tell you why you should be. And I have sold a Muslim a Christian book. I have sold non-readers a Christian book. I even saw a Latino man that could not read English, a Christian book, and I said, this is a great way to practice your English, have someone read to you, but I don't take rejection. It rolls with me.
Mm-hmm.
It rolls with me. And so, yeah, being in the military, you know how it is. I stand up most of the time, and I greet everybody, whether they buy a book or not. I greet them, and I represent myself, and I represent Christ.
Oh, amen. Amen. Tell us, what was the idea about No Easy Catch? What did you want to put out there?
Well, with No Easy Catch, I don't want to give too much away, but I do have to say that the male character was based on a news interview I heard about a sports figure that was a victim of a carjacking, and they released him when they recognized who he was. So my book starts off like that, but you know, we have been in situations where we try to bargain with God. Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I'll go to church on Sunday. You know how
I'm thinking a few people right when you said that.
Right, and so I try to be real, but you know, when we tell God that, we may not say, Lord, I vow to do it, but we indirectly have told God that. And so he goes to, when the media gets wind of that, he is invited or he is asked to give a TV station the exclusive interview, which is where he meets Shay Carman.
Okay.
And she's already disillusioned with me, and she is through, but she recognizes his vulnerability. He gives God his just due. He admits that I was afraid and I prayed, and she just admired him because he didn't say, well, you know, it was because of who I am and I had the situation under control. And so through a series of events, they connected and he wounds her. But she is a professional woman, and sometimes with women that are professional, they feel they have to choose between their relationship and their career. And so she was in a position where she had to do that. And she wasn't sure if she was making the wisest choice. But I try to be real in my book, and I also wanted to point out that just because God saves us, we still reap what we sow. But we reap it with God's grace. You know, so I don't want people to think, okay, God, I did this, but you saved me. Everything's fine. Yes. But God will give us grace to reap what we sow. For example, if we stole something, we've repented, God has saved us, we still have to serve the penalty of our deeds, but God will give us grace. He may shorten our sentence, or he may allow us to find favor, but I don't want people to think just because God saves us, we're scot-free physically, we're scot-free spiritually. But sometimes we do have to reap what we sow.
Amen. Amen. Now, what is there a set in a specific time or era, or is this current as far as the time that the stories are happening?
David, I had to do current. I can't go back. I can't go way back because you have to be so on point with history. And no, and that's too much work for me. So
you're being honest.
Yeah, I am. It's current. I don't write historical. I do in the Jameson legacy, as you know, we discussed. I have African American genealogy weaved in a contemporary story, which you know, of course, allowed me, you know, the grace where I didn't have to be 100% accurate. But I commend people that do historicals because that's a lot of research. And I'd rather do research where I can throw things in. But I enjoy doing research. I'm working on book two. And book two is featuring my dark and lovely sisters. And so I've been doing my research on the dark and lovely. And for those that don't know what that is, that's the darker African-American sisters that have that are faced with a whole different set of issues that are unbeknown to probably populations outside the African-American community. And so I always like to deal with issues, but there's a treat at the end of that book because God shows up and he shows off. So I want people to connect with the Carman sisters. These are four strong sisters where they take votes on what each other you know, when they're faced with different issues, and, you know, it's not the backbiting, can't get along. These are sisters that are strong in the Lord, and they have each other's back, but each of them have issues where the whole family comes together, and that's what I want to put emphasis on with the Carmen sisters. You're not dealing with one, you're dealing with all, because they, you know, they have each other's back. And whether we have sisters or brothers in the literal term, we have sisters and brothers in Christ, and we have to have their back. We have to.
Oh, amen, amen. Now, is there, there's a promotion, a major league ticket promotion going on with the release of No Easy Catch. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely, absolutely. They can go to Whitaker's website, and unfortunately I was trying to find it. I had it in my phone and couldn't find it. But if they go to my website later today, once I can get checked into my hotel and everything, I will have that. And they can go there. They can listen to an interview, see what I look like, read an excerpt, and for no purchase necessary, they can register to win two baseball tickets of their choice to any game, anywhere, absolutely free. They would have to pay for the transportation. Of course, it does not include playoff tickets or World Series tickets, but imagine if you wanted to come to my hometown of St. Louis to a Cardinals game and you lived in Memphis. And you could just drive up, stay at a friend's house and attend, you know, a Cardinal game on, you know, Whitaker House. And I thank Whitaker House for doing that because they did not have to do that. I think the value of the tickets are like $200. Don't quote me. I'm not sure. It's on the website.
Wow.
But, I mean, how gracious,
absolutely,
is that for the publisher to do that in honor of my book release, and people don't even have to buy my book, which, you know, I hope they kind of feel a little guilty. And, you know, and we'll buy the book, but no book, no purchase is necessary for them to go in and register to win these two free tickets. And they have until, I do believe, either mid-June or the end of June. It is on Whitaker House, and I know it's noeasycatch.whitakerhouse.com. I'm not real sure.
The link's there, though. If you go to noeasycatch.whitakerhouse.com, you'll see the beautiful picture of the book, and right underneath it, it says, enter to win Major League Baseball tickets. So
I did have it right.
I wasn't sure.
Okay, great. And you know, I would advise people to go, and for sports fanatics, you know, read my book for no other reason to see if Pat Simmons got it right. But it's not, you know, it definitely enjoyed baseball tickets, whoever wins.
Oh, absolutely. Pat, we're at that time where I'd like to just ask you to share a couple minutes. We have about 3-4 minutes left. Just give everybody something to be inspired by in faith, and just bless them. And then also, at the end of that, if you could include your website and any contact information you want to give.
Sure. I would be more than honored to. My favorite scripture, my golden text scripture, is Jude 1:24. And that is that God can keep us from falling and present us faultless for the Almighty Wise God. And I think a lot of people forget that scripture. God can keep us from falling. Only thing we have to do is watch Him. I don't particularly care for people who say, well, if we fall, God can pick us up. Yeah, but, you know, we already fell before the cross. We have the cross. We need to believe He can keep us from falling. We need to believe if we want to steal that car, that nope, I don't have to do it now. I'm a new creature. Nope, I don't have to do it. You know, God can keep us from lusting. I got a wife. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do it. Remember that scripture. God can keep us from falling. God can keep us holy, because without holiness, no man shall see God. And so I'm committed today to keep from falling so that I can be presented to the Almighty Wise God, faultless and clean and spotless. And I want to live holy so that God will receive me in the rapture. My website is real simple. It's www.patsimmons.net. And people can connect with me on Facebook. I would be honored. I also have Pat Simmons Readers on Facebook, and they can connect with me where I share little tidbits, and I have a street team. And, you know, they can just get up close and personal with me. And I'm going to be signing in Fort Worth this week, as well as the Doc Shop in Fort Worth on Friday, and they can go to my website and get the details. But I hope people will give me a chance with the Carmen Sisters, fall in love with these sisters, and just support a Christian writer. If not me, then find a Christian writer and support their work in the Lord.
Mm. Amen. Sister Pat, I really appreciate you being on the air with us and taking the time. I enjoy having you because I know you're a woman of faith, but also that you want to see other people built up in faith. And that's a big thing that I've noticed in your books, that you lead them to where they can see that they can grow, even as the characters are growing, that you're speaking to the readers. And I appreciate you, and I just want to honor you and just tell you that, you know, God is using you in a great way, and let God continue to do it, my sister.
Well, thank you so much, Brother David, and I just give all that praise up to God. I thank you, and I thank the listeners. Thank you for the opportunity. You have no idea how much I appreciate that.
Amen. Well, thank you, sister. God bless you, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
All righty. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Amen. That was Miss Pat Simmons, and we enjoyed having her. She's awesome. We kind of went a little longer than usual there, but, you know, when you have someone that really is just connecting with the listeners, you just want to keep them there. And, hey, you know what? I own the station. We can go longer if we want to. And praise God. All right, we'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.